we decided to have a look at the reality of dua and throughout the different verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions before we move on to the commentary of Khomeini's supplication. As it was mentioned in the previous program, the prophets were extensively devoted to dua, and that is because they knew that it will strengthen their minds and it will purify their souls. And they knew that no supplicant ends his dua except that Allah grants his request to him. When Prophet Abraham says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq, inna rabbi la sami'u dua, when he says, praise be to Allah who has given me in my old age Ismail and Ishaq, and my Lord is indeed the hearer of the prayer. When Zakaria requests Allah with the power of dua to grant him a child, and God fulfills his desire and bestows on him John, though his wife was barren. When the Christ asks Allah to descend a heavenly table spread with food, and the Almighty Allah accepts the prayer and sends down for him and his disciples a table spread with foods from heaven. This means the holy prophets have clearly understood the meaning of dua. They have understood that dua is seeking assistance of the powerless from the all-powerful. They have understood that dua is the expression of deprivation to the one. Allah the Almighty has ordered the servants to pray in all situations, either in happiness or sorrow, with a humble heart and a tearful eye, demanding their needs from him, and be hopeful of the acceptance of their supplication. The Almighty Allah has also assured to consign to hell those who are too proud to serve him. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and when your Lord said, call unto me and I will answer you, and then the verse continues, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, and those who scorn my service, they will enter hell disgraced.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
So Allah's benevolence toward His creatures is extended and it is comprehensive, especially for mankind. Allah's presence is not an abode of hopelessness and stinginess. His generosity, His forgiveness is relentless, as is His longing for His servants to pray to Him. Let us now turn to some of the traditions regarding dua. Allah addressed Prophet David alayhi salam, "Say to my servants, why don't you befriend me, since I deserve friendship? I am a God of no miserliness. There is no ignorance in my omniscience, no incapacity in my forbearance, and no alteration in my attributes or my speech. My mercy and forgiveness is unvarying and constant. I am the friend of him who befriends me, and I accompany him who invokes on me in his solitude. O David, he who seeks me finds me, and he who finds me deserves not to lose me. O David, blessing is from me, but my servants thank others. I ward off calamity, but they seek it from the others. Their safe haven is my presence, but they seek refuge from others, though finally they return to me." Now, a surplus of such meaningful texts in Islamic books, along with the Quranic verses mentioned earlier, and with most of them not mentioned earlier, give good tidings to the servants to be hopeful of God's mercy. Therefore, the servants should pray and ask their prerequisites from the Almighty Allah. That's why the traditions narrated by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have all stressed the importance of dua. Some narrations like "Inna du'a huwa al-ibadah," dua is indeed a worship, or "Ad-du'a'u mukhu al-ibadah," dua is the core of worship, or as Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, "Afdalu al-ibadati ad-du'a," the most preferable of worships is dua, and many other traditions are proving the hopefulness that will be caused in supplication and dua. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 16th, 2021. I'm Atta Fairfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listen to the Special This Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And the good news is that my colleagues are designing and preparing eQSL cards for you. And let's see who has sent us reception reports. And actually, I truly appreciate those who has sent reception reports, including Vladislav Levshanov from Russia, Mahfouz Rahman from Bangladesh, and Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. Well, Vladislav, Mahfouz, and Freddy, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us reception reports, and a million thanks to those of our listeners who have sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later, during the program, I will read their emails and letters. First of all, we have an email from Sergei M. Izimov from Russia. Also, Mohammad Riel from Malaysia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Uruguay, we have an email from Freddy Irigoyen. Thank you. And Stefan Krona from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Ralph Ladusch from Germany. Many thanks for sending IRIB English Radio emails and letters from around the world. So, after a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. So, please stay with us. Welcome back. You just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music from south of Iran. Yes, I really enjoyed it. As I said, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia has sent us an email. Sergei says, "Greetings from Moscow. It would be great if you send me out your SW frequency list. Also, please send me your beautiful postcards representing different corners of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia, and many thanks for sending us this message regarding your request about sending you SW frequency list. You can find our SW frequency list, Sergei, from our website. Yes, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find our frequency list. And, of course, after a long pause of not sending our dear listeners the paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio promotional items, including postcards, my colleagues are preparing these items for our dear listeners. So please be patient until we can send you the postcards, as you said, representing different corners of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Again, thank you, Sergei M. Izomov from Russia. Write to us soon. Stay healthy and safe, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. And from Malaysia, we have an email from Muhammad Briel. Muhammad Briel is one of our regular listeners who says, "Assalamu alaikum, radio is indeed magical. Imagine a device encased in wood, plastic or metal, composed of minute electronic components and tuned to pull sound from something totally invisible to the eye. It is this simple magic that has held me spellbound since I was about 6 years of age when I owned my first radio. A pocket transistor radio. I am now 65, and for nearly 60 years, tuning a radio has been like navigating a ship. It has allowed me to travel up and down the dial to faraway places. Signals fade and overlap amid waves of static. Sounds unique to each city and country float in, long enough to conjure image of something seemingly exotic. And while it is true, satellite radio and internet streaming produces a much stronger and clearer sound in this age, there is little adventure, little challenge is seeking out a station. Best of all, a radio costs next to nothing compared to a computer, a cell phone, and an internet or satellite service provider. And radio signal can be heard anywhere in the world, even during a blackout or natural disaster. That is why I enjoy this hobby. And inshallah, IRIB English Radio will continue to be a voice for those of us who love the radio, who like to surf the radio waves, looking for new adventures, new insights, and new friends. Oh well, and salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia, and many thanks for sending us this email. I really enjoyed your thoughts and outlooks toward radio, and your your attitude toward radio, a traditional kind of radio, and I do agree with you. As you said, best of all, a radio costs next to nothing compared to a computer, a cell phone, or an internet or satellite service provider. Radio signals, as you said, can be heard anywhere in the world, even during a blackout or natural disaster. Yes, that's great. I do agree with you, and it's such a long time you've been listening to radio since you were 6 years old until now that you are 65 years old, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. Stay safe and healthy, and continue doing the good job listening to radio, and of course, IRIB English Radio. Thank you again for reflecting your views about radio and IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and tell us which programs of IRIB English Radio you like the best. Tell us your views about our programs, and send us more emails and letters, and reflect your views about our programs. Many thanks, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back from the Uruguay. We have an email from Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. Yes, this email is from Freddy. Freddy says, "Hello, Radio IRIB English Radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. How are you? It is with great joy that I sent you this report of receipt of your service. I was able to receive them in my country, Uruguay. I was able to hear the song that I recorded and attached it to this message clearly so that you can verify it. I was able to hear until 2:30 UTC time that the broadcast ended or I lost reception. Thank you very much in advance for reading my email, and I would be very grateful to have your QSL verification. Best regards, Freddy, and salam and greetings to you, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. And it seems that it's for the first time that you have sent IRIB English Radio this email, at least as far as I know. Anyway, I do express my appreciation to you for sending us this email. You have attached a recording. Yes, we received that. Thanks a lot for that. And regarding for your request about sending you QSL, yes, as I said in the introduction of the program and to our dear listeners, my colleagues are preparing eQSL cards for sending to our dear listeners. And that's because of the coronavirus pandemic, because before that, we used to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards. Many thanks for sending us this email, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. We are so happy that our signals are heard in your country, Uruguay. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs, Freddy. From Sweden, we have an email from Stefan Corona. Stefan Corona, as you know, is one of our regular listeners. Stefan says, dear IRIB English radio staff, thank you for the beautiful EQSL. My hope is to once again see your beautiful country when COVID-19 pandemic is over. Best regards from Sweden. And warm greetings to you, Stefan Corona from Sweden. And so you have received EQSL from IRIB English Radio. That's good. We're so happy that you received our EQSLs from IRIB English Radio. And so you hope to once again see beautiful Iran after the pandemic. So it seems that before the pandemic and you have visited Iran. That's great. So, Stefan Corona from Sweden, please write to us soon. Stay safe and healthy. And in your upcoming emails, this is just an idea. Please tell us which parts of Iran you visited and what was it like. Thank you again, Stefan Corona from Sweden. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Well, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Just during the program, you hear traditional music of Iran, and it really makes my day. From Germany, we have an email from Ralph Ladouche. Ralph Ladouche from Germany says, dear staff of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for the nice EQSL. I'm very happy for receiving that. I hope IRIB have stronger signals in next month because the information your radio provides us with, such as political commentaries and reports about culture, landscape, architecture, sports, and more, are very interesting. Peaceful greetings from Karbas. Salam and warm greetings to you, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. And we're so happy that you received our EQSL. Yes, we're seeing that our listeners, one by one, are receiving our new EQSLs. We're so happy to hear that. And so you received the signals of IRIB English Radio, but You request stronger signals, of course, we refer this to our engineers and technicians in IRIB English Radio, and many thanks for your really inspiring and encouraging comment about IRIB English Radio programs, as you found them very interesting. Again, thank you very much, Ralph Ladouche from Germany, for sending us this email. Please send us more emails in the future and tell us your views about our programs. Many thanks. Stay safe and healthy, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. Okay, please stay with us. With the best wishes to our dear listeners around the world, especially good health, we end this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and tell us your views about our programs, and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today.
We've begun discussing monotheism and the divine attributes in the last few episodes. Shiite scholars believe that God is one, in contrast to other religions such as Christianity. He's completely immaterial being. We don't believe that in the Trinity, and that there's three dimensions to God: Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. We don't believe that he's a physical body. Also, in contrast to other sects in Islam, within Islam, Shiism doesn't believe that God is a physical body. We believe that he has absolute power, he has absolute knowledge. also the verses of the Holy Quran in which physical attributes have been ascribed to God, and such as having a hand, and so on and so forth. We don't take these literally. We interpret them in a different way, in contrast to other sects within Islam. This is very important, and we're going to be repeating this throughout all of our episodes. It's necessary to make this clear. So even if you see such expressions as the hand of God, it's important not to take this literally, because God doesn't have human-like characteristics such as a physical body. Today we're going to be looking at a very important problem, and that problem is this. Sometimes when we examine some of the very basic books of Islamic doctrine and Islamic ideology, we see that in these books, in the section on the discussion on God's attributes and his names, one of the divisions that are mentioned for God's attributes is the division of his attributes into his attributes, his positive attributes and his negative attributes. In Arabic, we call these sifat al-subuti, his positive attributes, or sifat al-salbi, his negative attributes. Under the heading of the negative attributes, a lot of different attributes are mentioned. For example, sometimes they say God doesn't have a partner. He's not composed of parts. He doesn't have attributes which are additional to and external to, outside of his essence. He is not a physical body. He's not in a direction. He's not in a place. He doesn't exist within something in the sense of being incarnated within it. And other attributes are also mentioned here in this regard. But one of the attributes that are mentioned under this heading is the attribute, which is the idea that he's not in a certain direction. It's possible for somebody to ask the following question. We have seen in the Holy Quran that God has been described as being in a certain direction. He's been described as being at least, if not anything, on top of or sitting on or above the throne. God has been described as having a throne and being and sitting upon that throne, so he's above the throne. Where the throne is, that's a different question. But if not anything, he's above it. Does this not imply that he exists in a certain direction? So this is a question we want to address today. Don't these two claims contradict one another? Or to put it in other words, why is it that God can't exist in a certain direction? And then how do we, if this is true, how do we resolve that with this verse in question? The answer to this query is that we know that any being that exists in a certain place or in a certain direction has to be physical in nature. Immaterial beings are such that they have a certain, they are above place and time, they comprehend place and time, and their relation to all places and all times is the same. However, physical beings are such, they cannot exist in all places and all at once. Right? One body cannot occupy one space, more than one body can occupy one space at once. Right? This is something very self-evident, we all know that. So therefore we know that any being that exists in a certain direction is physical in nature. And we know that God Almighty is not a physical being, and therefore he can't be in a certain direction. We don't want to say here that God Almighty is not present in all places, or is not present at all times. Yes, when we say that God Almighty doesn't exist in a certain direction, it implies that he's not limited to being present in that direction, or in that place and not others. So this, therefore, is the meaning of his not being in a certain place or in a direction, and why it's so. And the question as to what the verse that we mentioned or we alluded to in the beginning of our discussion means, that's a different story. It should be taken up in this science of the commentary of the Holy Quran. But we know that we can't interpret this verse as it apparently means. Thank you for joining us here today on The Key. We were looking at the negative attributes of God and why he can't exist in a place or in a direction. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Aga, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Lecture. Sheikh Asad Jafari.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu midhatuhu al-qa'ilun wa la yuhsi ni'ma'uhu al-'adun wa la yu'addi haqqahu al-mustahidun. الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمام ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. The view from within, analysis of the self, has been an ongoing topic. We've been talking a little bit about the self, and we've reached a point in our discussions now where we have to identify those elements that are looking to destroy the self. And remember, my example throughout my lectures now until the end is the fact that this self of ours, us, the I inside of me, is a vehicle towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that wasila, right? It's a transport that I'm supposed to take towards Allah. It is the same vehicle that will carry me forward through this grave, through the barzakh, and onto the day of judgment. So I have to now understand what the I is, what the self is. And on top of that, identify those factors that could destroy the I and those factors that build the I. And because we're going through a takhliya process, and I define that takhliya is that process in the backyard, first before you grow your garden or you plant your vegetables, it's a wet pull all the weeds out, remove those blockages, remove those barriers of growth, and then now plant the seed and watch it grow. Same way, if we want to build towards Allah, fly towards Allah, gravitate and ascend towards Allah, we have to identify the weeds, identify the roadblocks, identify those anchors, and one by one, remove them. Otherwise, it becomes a very frustrating process. You know, you dig the backyard, you grow, you water, you plant, you watch, nothing happens. Why? Well, because the elements weren't there for its growth. Same idea. I'm trying Asibhai, I'm trying Malana, I'm trying Sayyid. It doesn't work. Forget it, it's not for me. Well, the process was flawed, right? And so in the past two nights, we talked about two specific weeds inside of us that are stunting our growth towards Allah. One is this negative pessimism inside of us that I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. We begin to suspect Allah and think, you know, maybe He doesn't want to see me succeed spiritually. And last night we talked about Ummul Fasad, the mother of all internal corruption, being the ego. We talked about the ego of the faithful, right? Not the ego of those who deny Allah. These are people who believe in Allah, who worship Allah, who act on Allah, and how Shaitan infiltrates into their acts and allows them not to actually believe that they are somebody. I am somebody because I've done a few mustahab acts in this world. Now, building from that, building on top of that, this Ummul Fasad, one thing that is born from the ego is the fact that we now become intolerant towards our own faults, okay? And very much aware of the faults of others. So we go through what's called the Aib Jui in Farsi. You know, we begin to pick the faults of others and find the faults of others and look deeply and spend a lot of energy finding the faults of others. It is a massive problem inside of our families, inside of our communities. Now, let me, first of all, speak about the fact that, yes, in certain areas, in certain relationships, making others aware of the deficiencies and the faults that they have is actually beautiful. And I'll present to you a few hadiths. It's actually recommended. Right? So, if the person in front of you is listing your faults or making you aware of your deficiencies, then you have to identify, number one, the niyat of the person in front of you. Now, sometimes that can't be done. Sometimes it's very obvious. And secondly, is that we can't group everybody under one roof. For example, you know, we have to kind of give the benefit of the doubt to the people that we love, right? Our spouses, for example, our parents, for example, our siblings, our friends, those people who truly want to see me elevate, is we have to let ourselves know that if they have come to me and said, look, you know, you should begin to work on this, my immediate reaction should not be defensive. Right? Nor should I begin to question their niyat that all they want to do now is, you know, destroy me. No, this is your wife, right? It's your husband. This is your parent. This is your mother or your father. This is your best friend. This is your brother or your sister. This is a guy you grew up with, for example. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you perfect yourself. Okay? And we can't perfect ourselves unless we identify those imperfections inside of us. It's a very simple and a very logical discussion. So there is one portion of this discussion on the person who's presenting the faults. There's also one person who's receiving that feedback. Okay, we as recipients of the feedback, we have to be a little bit more thick-skinned sometimes, and realize that this person in front of me is not my enemy. This person doesn't want to see me, destroyed. Their purpose is not to embarrass me, God forbid. Their purpose is, look, I see immense potential inside of you. You have all the tools to grow. These are a few things that are really stunting your growth. And me, as your spouse, as your wife, as your husband, as your mother, as your father, who's with you 24 hours a day, I can see things that others can't see. And you should not, at this moment, you know, question my niyat. I'm not, you know, we're on the same page. They say that, you know, a husband and a wife are what? Are mirrors of each other. Well, the mirror does what? The mirror shows everything, right? Like this mirror on the wall business that we see in the fairy tales isn't there. That doesn't just, oh, you're the prettiest of them all. No, it's not like that. They'll actually show every scar, every pimple, every, you know, the fact that you haven't had a haircut in 2 months. I really missed my haircut, right? All these things there, it'll show you because that's what a mirror does. Yes, it'll show you that, oh, you trimmed your beard so nicely today, like I did. You see that? And all lined up very nicely. It'll show you that. At the same time, it'll show you everything. That's how a spouse should be. Now, the hadith says, oh, Imam Ali is a beautiful hadith. Alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says that the most beautiful person in your eyes, the most admired person in your eyes, is the one that presents your deficiencies to you as a gift. Look, we give, oh, it's such a beautiful Islamic discussion. We give these gifts to people, whatever gift you might give, right? We give the gift with the hope that they might, number one, be happy about it. Number two, they might use it. They might benefit from it. There's nothing better for me, at least, when I get a gift that's useful for me, right? That I can use right away. Oh my God, I was dying for that. You know, this is exactly what I needed, and I'm just so happy I'll start to use it, right? Imam Ali says that sometimes, depending on the person now, sometimes, you know, that person that presents your faults to you as a gift, that means that there is a certain way of presenting the faults. That person should be admired in your eyes. Another hadith says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls in love with somebody, listen very carefully, because I'll tell myself to listen very carefully. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls in love with somebody, the immediate reaction and the effect of that love, that He makes them aware of their own faults. Why? Because that love is forcing him. That love is making it compulsory on him to make sure that the one that he loves is perfect in everything that they do. So if my niyat is to perfect the person in front of me, then whatever comes from them has to be looked at as good and khair. Can't be said that, oh, you know, like I want to share your faults with you. I want to do it so I can, you know, I know that you can be a better person, but I'm just too scared. You're just not receptive to it, right? A lot of us, especially me, we're very thin-skinned sometimes. And a lot of it comes from where? The fact that we can't accept the faults of others or accept the feedback from others. It's because, you know, we're individuals who are not aware of our own faults. It's a very direct connection, right? Western psychology, Islam as well says that as well. And again, I'll present to you some of our hadiths tonight that support this claim. The reason why we go around, not only are we not receptive to people who are giving us feedback, but we are able to now easily find the faults in others and not the fault in me, is because I'm oblivious to my faults. Partly because I don't want to face it. Maybe I think I don't have any. It goes back to my ego talk last night. Right? That mother of all corruption gives life to all of these various vices. One of them, of course, being ayyub-jui and others, looking for faults in others, but not looking for the fault inside of you. Claiming you're perfect, right? Ignorance of your own faults equals to intolerance of the faults of others. Ignorance of your own faults, of my own faults, equals the intolerance of the faults of others. When we begin to understand that, yes, I have these deficiencies, when I see the same deficiencies in other people, I don't laugh, I don't celebrate their weaknesses, I actually empathize with those weaknesses. Right? And you can ask my siblings. Growing up, I was a very sensitive child. Some claim I still am, but I was a very sensitive child, very sensitive child. I was one of those annoying kids who, you know, had to have, you know, I had to blow out the candle at my cousin's birthday party, you know. I still remember my siblings had their first Roza Kushai, okay? They had their first, you know, celebration. Like, I wasn't in the Baligh then, right? So they had just finished their first Roza Ramadan in our house with a little bit of a celebration. Oh, you know, my brother and my sister now began fasting Ramadan. I was not even Baligh. It's not even a wajib on me, but somehow there's pictures of me sitting there holding my pinky, crying in a corner. Why, you know, when will it be that it is my Roza Kushai? To the point where my family, I just feel embarrassed telling you all this, to the point where my family would have to bring another gift for me, even though it has nothing to do with me, just because I was sensitive. Now, that was back then. Now, but because I'm fully aware now that how hypersensitive I was, and maybe somewhat I still am, when I look at a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, 10-year-old who's also hypersensitive, I empathize, I sympathize. I now am fully aware of the fact that, you know, I was a very caring and loving kid, as they would say. That's a better way of saying it, right? But that's what happens when you become fully aware of the fact. Right? When you are ignorant towards, ghafil, heedless towards your own aib and your own faults, then of course the world is filled with faults, and that's all you see, is the faults of others. But the reality is that it's an inside-out process. Because remember, everything I'm saying right now, it's not easy, guys. I mean, building yourself, self-building, khudsazi, looking inward, is very, very difficult. Western philosophy, Western psychology says one of the most difficult things any human can practice is introspection, is contemplation, is self-thought. We just don't do it because we're scared to do it. We're scared of what might come out of that process. Right?
And you know, because that happens, we just avoid the whole process altogether. It's so much easier, Asambhai, to talk about other people than to talk about me. It's so much easier and sometimes more enjoyable, God forbid, for me to sit there and pick up the faults of others than for me to pick up my own faults. That's not fun. So we don't do it. Another hadith by Imam Ali, the closest person to you is one who makes you aware of your faults. Right? The closest enemy of you, of yours, the closest enemy of yours is the one who presents to you as somebody who is perfect and flawless. Right? And what they do in the process is that they fool you to think that, yeah, I am perfect. And then thus the ego process kicks in. Let's be very careful. This is a situation, and this is a fault in us that's destroying families, destroying communities, destroying homes. Not only are we afraid to share the faults with our loved ones, we're also scared to hear those faults as well. And I get it. Sometimes it's the fact that, look, this is the person I love, right? The person that I've spent the rest of my life with, right? I don't want them to see me in that light. I don't like the fact that they're fully aware of my faults. So yeah, when I get upset, it's not upset at you, it's actually upset at myself. That why have I, not only do I have this fault, why was I able now to make the fault apparent to them? So this idea of fault finding is all based on niyyah. And your wife, your husband, your parent, your child, fair enough. But a random person in the community comes to you and says, look, brother or sister, you know, this, that, you know, your salat was this way, your hijab is this way. You know, for me, for example, people come to me and give me feedback, good and bad, about the lectures. You know, next time, you know, this was off. Where did you get this from? This wasn't good. That story didn't make sense, right? And you really have to sometimes adopt the saying of Imam Ali that don't look at who's saying it, look at what's being said. But if you are somebody who likes to give feedback to others about their faults and about the difference, and you know, you have, you know, husnizam, you have the best, best niyat, and the purest of niyats inside of you. I do it because I love you. I do it because I want to see you better. But, you know, my tone is rough. My delivery is off. You know, let's not just wrap it all with, you know, who cares about tone? Worry about what I'm saying. No, it's not like that. Tone sometimes is everything. Right? Up and down the Quran, Allah talks about lahja and lahja and tone and tone and tone. Right? Nabi Musa had that. وَقُولُ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. I've often mentioned this very famous verse. That even God is telling Nabi Musa to go back to Fir'aun, tell him about Allah, but speak to him in a very soft tone. That maybe because of your soft tone, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَخْشَى أَيَتَذَكُرُوا يَخْشَى. It may be because of that soft tone, maybe he might have khushu or dhikr of me inside of the heart. So yeah, it is how you say it, not always what you say. Right? It's like the example that my father often gives, right? One says no smoking, one says don't you dare smoke, one has a cigarette and a light through it, and one says thank you very much for not smoking. Four of the exact same messages, different ways of saying it. Okay? But, you know, there is a responsibility between the one who receives the feedback, the one who gives the feedback as well. Let's look at a few ahadiths I want to share with all of you, inshallah. So, salat salwa, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala. And again, I will tell you, there are some people that have the cruelest of niyats, and I'm sorry, that's a reality. They actually enjoy not only finding the fault, but what? Exposing the fault to others. And meanwhile, the Quran talks about, and Islam talks about what? The protection and of the dignity of the mu'min, right? Al-Abzar al-Ka'aba, the hadith says. The hurmat of the mu'min is higher than the Ka'aba. And we should do everything we can to what? To protect that dignity. If we believe in a communal religion, if I believe that his izzat or her izzat is ultimately my izzat and my respect, because we belong to the same deen, the same ummah, and same nation. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, he says, again, these are very profound ahadiths, and ones that, you know, I want all of, especially me, to ponder. He says, "Kafa bil mar'i ayban." It's enough of an ayb. It's enough of a fault, of a deficiency. It's enough for you, it's enough for me to say, this one fault is enough for me. I don't need 1,000 faults. This one fault is, what is that fault? He says, "An yubsira min an-nasi man ya'ma anhu min nafsihi." That he tries and he picks and he looks for faults in others, those faults that actually he's blind to within himself. Meaning, you know, sometimes you find people that they talk about person A and person B, you know, she does this and he does that. And meanwhile, that person does that all day long. And you look at this person and say, are you serious right now? Do you know you're describing yourself right now? But the Quran says what? The Hadith says what? Man ya'ama, they're blind to their own faults. So same faults that exist inside of them, they're out there picking the faults of those others. That is enough of a deficiency, Imam Muhammad says. What more do you want? That's one hadith. The second hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa anjil farajun. He says, "Man bahatha an ayyub al-nas falyabda'u bi nafsihi." The person who busies himself looking into the faults of others. And there are some people who legitimately busy themselves all day long. They have nothing better to do than to snoop around, ask around, do some jasusi, do some spying, right? We talked about suspicion, su'edan. We talked about Surah Hujurat. Surah Hujurat in verse number 11, I believe, talks about the fact that do not be individuals who what? Who suspect each other, right? There are certain levels of suspicion that are outright sin. Because that suspicion leads to what? Leads to jasusi, that you just end up asking, not spying inside someone's house, but spying into their lives. Meaning that, you know, you find out, okay, well, you know, what happened over there? Oh, okay. And then you compare stories, and you come up with, and then you begin the backbiting process. Oh, I begin the backbiting process. All begins from the idea that we become obsessed with the lives of others. Why? What is the obsession with how other people live their life? How other people present themselves? Right? This person is, oh, look at her, look at him, he's everywhere, you know, just sit down. Why? Just worry about yourself. Like I said, you know, sometimes when I go see some married couples, sometimes they ask, you know, just come by and kind of help us out and, you know, maybe listen to us and give some advice. Sure. So I go, and, you know, it's amazing how, and I think to an extent it's human nature. We become defensive, right? It's amazing how one spouse has all this advice for the other spouse, and that spouse has all the advice for this spouse. But when I ask them, you know, what are you going to do to fix this marriage? There's crickets, there's silence. Either you think that I don't need to do anything, you know, I've done everything, what more can I, or you don't know where to start, or you've never been asked that question. Or if I ask people, and I tend to do that, I go, what will your husband tell me about you? Or what will your wife tell me about you? Well, he might say this or she might say this. He says, the one who busies himself looking into the faults of others should what? Should start by looking into the faults of his own self. This is a communal movement. Like, it takes a village for us to fix ourselves. And you know, we have to stop looking outward and begin to fix the inside. And we need help in doing that. The Prophet says that the worst person to consult with when you're trying to build yourself and rid yourself of any deficiencies is yourself. Profound statement. Why? Because, you know, either we are too hard on ourselves, where I am useless, I'm worthless, I'm hellbound, or we're way too lax on ourselves. That I'm Mr. Muttaqi, I'm everything, I'm better than 1,000 people, for sure there's jannah for me waiting for me. And this is why, you know, sometimes you see in the discussion on Ma'ad and the Day of Judgment, sometimes you see, you know, this idea that one of the proofs that we have against for the Day of Judgment is that there is a mini Day of Judgment inside of us. You know, there's a judge, there's a jury, there's an executioner inside of us. Think about, you know, this nafsil lawama that we have, this regretful, remorseful soul that we have, right? We commit a sin against Allah, and we, before anyone else does, we feel immense regret, and we end up punishing ourselves. Why'd you do that? Why are you so weak? Why can't you be better? Right? The judge has already laid down the sentence. The jury has already found.